Good evening, and welcome to the Safilo Group's third quarter and 9 months 2019 trading update. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty, due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Angelo Trocchia, Chief Executive Officer, Gerd Graesler, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Mr. Gerd Graesler, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Graesler, you may begin.
Good evening, and thank you for attending today's conference call on Safilo's trading update on Q3 and the first 9 months 2019. As you know, our comments are provided exclusively on our continuing operations, thus excluding the retail business, which we sold effective July 1st, 2019, so retail was completely out of our Q3 reporting. As done during the whole course of the year, our comments are given on the results before the impacts deriving from the first adoption of the new standard IFRS 16 on the third quarter and on the first 9 months. The impacts are detailed in the next slide that I leave for your direct reference, but skip commenting it.
Thank you, Gerd, and good evening to all. As you know, the third quarter is for Safilo a smaller quarter, both in terms of sales and bottom line. But it was indeed for us a period of business which keeps moving in the right direction, where we continue recording the improvement of our results, strengthening our commercial capabilities, and enhancing our digital agenda for the future. We think that the quarter was indeed an additional confirmation of the quality of the work so far undertaken, with our core wholesale revenue growing by 2.8% at constant exchange rate, and the adjusted EBITDA reaching 9.7 million euro, thus recording another significant improvement of the group underlying performance, and taking our 9 months adjusted EBITDA to 43.9 million euro. Since last time we talked at the beginning of August about our H1 results, we brought home two significant news. First of all, the renewal at the end of August of our license agreement with Boss Group, both Hugo and Boss, for the design, manufacturing, distribution of the two brands, optical and sunglasses collection. This represents for us an important opportunity to keep reinforcing our presence in the significant premium fashion segment of the market, with two powerful brands with extremely clear and relevant positioning, aimed at different consumer targets and geographies. And we are particularly proud to have signed this agreement. The other relevant news more recently announced is the renewal for an additional period of 3 years of our production and supply agreement with Kering Eyewear, a partnership which testifies Safilo's strong product quality and craftsmanship capabilities combined with a top-tier service. Again, it's a great sign, a great fact that Kering is believing in the excellence of the manufacturing capability of Safilo. In the 3 months to September, we were all very committed in the preparation and presentation of our 2020 collections for all the brands of our portfolio, but with a specific focus on the upcoming David Beckham, Missoni, and Levi's, with their collection hitting the market at the beginning of next year. The first feeling from the customer are quite positive, so we really look forward for the Q1. Back to the performance of our net sales in the period under consideration, in Q3, in quarter three, our continuing operation reached 212.8 million euro of revenue, up 2.2% at current exchange rate, thanks to a forex tailwind of 2.1, mainly derived from US dollar appreciation against Europe. So at constant exchange rate, the quarter was basically flat compared to last year, and this was the result of one side of the expected decline, indeed starting from the first quarter of the year, of the caring supply business, on the other side of the growth I mentioned before of 2.8 of our core wholesale revenue. We will talk in a moment on how this performance break out in terms of our geography. But let me outline the ongoing positive momentum from a brand perspective recorded by our Carrera and Polaroid collection. As you know, we put Carrera, Polaroid, Saffler Smith more and more at the heart of what we are doing, and Carrera and Polaroid and also Smith are making us happy about the results. And we will obviously keep focusing on our brands, but also keep focusing on our main licensed brand. So the first 9 months closed with the net sales of continuing operation of 708.7 million euros, up 5.2% at current exchange rate, 2.7% at constant exchange rate, while the revenue of our wholesale business, excluding the catering supply business, grew 3.7% at constant forex. I leave it to Gerd for additional detail.
Thank you, Angelo. Let me then go into our sales performance by geography, starting as usual from Europe, where our business reached 95.5 million euros in the third quarter, reporting a plus 4.2% or plus 3.9% at constant exchange rates. So differently from the other quarters of the year, we had a minor positive forex impact in this quarter, mainly provided by the appreciation of the British pound against the euro. As you know, the Kering supply business is included in our European sales, and the decline just highlighted by Angelo is thus included in the overall performance of the region. Just a quick additional word on this front. Guaranteed volumes for this contract were expected to halve this year, and while they have indeed decreased in this third quarter, as it will be the case also in the fourth quarter, they have not halved compared to last year, as the business and our agreement is moving along well, as also the renewed partnership testifies. In Europe, our core wholesale business thus grew double-digit in the third quarter, up 12%, taking the performance in the first 9 months to a plus 5.6%. The recovery, which was on a softer quarter last year, was very broad-based by country, channel, and brand. And in this last respect, let me highlight the significant performance that all our three own core brands, Carrera, Polaroid, and Smith, had in the period in the region, up around 11%. North America was instead a weak spot in the quarter, dropping 3.9% at current exchange rates and 7.7% constant exchange rates, with net sales arriving at 79.9 million euros. This was mainly the result of the consolidation in the period of all of our North American logistics activities into our new Denver warehouse, a shift and startup that has affected the quarterly business performance, and in particular the Smith sports business. Besides this, U.S. business environment has been quite volatile and uncertain in the period, and this has generally affected also our independent opticians channel, despite the softer comp space that we were facing. On the positive side, Carrera, which continues to grow well in all channels and is stable also in the independent opticians despite the general trend, and also Boss and Tommy were growing in this quarter. In the first 9 months to September, our North American sales reached 249.4 million euros, up 3.7% at current exchange rates, while they were down 2% at constant exchange rates. The work and our aim is for a full recovery during this fourth quarter in order to finish the year substantially in line with last year. Moving to our emerging markets, in the third quarter, our Asia-Pacific region recorded another strong performance with the net sales reaching 17.5 million euros, up 13.7% on a reported basis and 11% at constant exchange rates. In the first 9 months, we are now up in Asia 27.3% at current and 22.5% at constant exchange rates. The positive quarterly trends confirmed the positive momentum of the business in China, in particular within major chains and with brands including Boss and Hugo, which are outgrowing the rest of the portfolio, as again Dior, Max Mara and Carrera were also positive. Finally, looking at the rest of the world, representing 8% of our nine-month sales, here we also had a positive third quarter with the business at 19.8 million euros, up 10.8% at current and 7.4% at constant exchange rates, taking the nine-month performance at a plus 3% at constant exchange rates. As it was the case in the second quarter, the recovery was driven by the broad-based business growth in Brazil and Mexico and some improving trends in the Middle East. To spot also here in this quarter the good performance of Carrera, Tommy, Polaroid, Boss and Hugo. Let's then get to the key drivers of our operating performance, starting from the results we achieved at the gross profit level. In the third quarter, gross profit stood at 109 million euros, up 3.7% compared to last year's same period, while the gross margin showed a 70 basis points improvement, which was driven by the lower dilution of the Kering supply business, given its smaller weight in the quarter, coupled with some positive foreign exchange impact. In the 9 months, the gross profit of our continuing operations reached 375.1 million euros, improving by 8.8% compared to the same period of last year, while the margin stood at 52.9% of sales, up 170 basis points. Going to our adjusted EBITDA, in the third quarter, our gross operating profit reached 9.7 million euros, or 4.6% of sales, taking the first 9 months adjusted EBITDA to 43.9 million with a margin of 6.2%. Reported performance is thus September to date in line with the same period of last year, while it showed a decline of 28.8% in the third quarter compared to the 13.7 million euros reported in Q3 2018. As done so far, we do need to look at our underlying operating performance in order to judge the progress of our current results, and this calls for significant operational improvement also in the third quarter when we exclude the other income of 9.8 million euros we booked in Q3 2018 as accounting compensation for the Gucci anticipated exit. In the first 9 months, these were of 29.3 million euros. So below the gross profit lines, the key drivers in our SG&A costs were additional overhead savings for roughly 4 million euros in the third quarter, mainly achieved at the Padova headquarters level, which were partially reinvested in additional marketing investments in our own core brands. I finish with the group net debt at the end of September 2019. This equaled 24.3 million euros compared to the 32.9 million euros at the end of December last year, and to 3.9 million at the end of June this year. Key drivers of this first 9 months 2019 were the cash-in of the remaining 17.7 million euros from the share capital increase executed at the end of 2018 and cashed in at the beginning of 2019, and a negative free cash flow of around 10 million euros, which reflected the negative working capital dynamics recorded in the third quarter, as inventory for the fall-winter collection launch is built up within Q3, as well as the stock increase we had in the period in the U.S. for the startup of the new Denver warehouse, as previously discussed. Our capital expenditures in the quarter remained pretty stable at around 7 million euros. So over to Angelo for his final remarks.
Thanks, Gerrit. We look at the current year as a transition year for building the foundation to face the challenge and opportunities that lie ahead. The transition year has been focused on strengthening our commercial capabilities, enhance our digital agenda, improve our efficiency in the supply chain, improve our overhead cost structure. Our aim now is clearly to be focused on the year end on one side, but on the other is to present the new group business plan on December the 11th during a presentation to the financial community. Thanks very much and open for the Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. Our first question comes from the line of Cedric Rossi from Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got two. The first one is regarding the sales description you had with Smith in the US. So I know that Q4 is a strong quarter for the brand in North America. Do you expect to fully recover by the year end? And could you just quantify a little bit what was the growth in North America if we strip out those logistic issues with Smith in Q3? And the second question is regarding the new license that are starting on Q1. Could you just share with us regarding Levi's, David Beckham, and Missoni, what would be the distribution strategy? What are the main channels you are targeting? Thank you.
Sorry. I start from the second question, then I answer to the first one. In terms of the three licenses, David Beckham, Levi's, and Missoni, I think these three licenses have three different logic. So Missoni is strong Italian brand, very well positioned toward female and millennials. So the distribution will be quite extensive, because we go and we are going to target mainly the key account and the trios. As I said, the first feedback from the buying days has been both positive, mainly from the main trios and some main chain mainly in Europe. On Levi's, the target of Levi's is definitely the millennial. Is a brand which is very, very healthy toward the millennial. All the brand equity is very, very strong. The focus in this case is going to be Asia. It's going to be very important, and it's going to be Europe, a little bit in North America. But I think we see a big opportunity in Asia and a big opportunity in Europe. Okay. David Beckham is a little bit a different brand. I mean, it's a brand that has to be treated as a test we are doing, is a license which is not the typical fashion brand. So it's going to cover our upper premium part of our portfolio, and here the execution is a little bit more limited in terms of coverage. We're going to be very selective, let me say, where we are going to distribute David Beckham. But interestingly enough, you know, I was in Hong Kong. There's been a big interest, strong interest on the brand, as obviously in UK, which is much easier, but also in Middle East. So we are seeing that the market is ready to have a proposition which is in what we call an upper premium, but with a little bit of different swing compared to the traditional fashion license.
Okay.
Going on your first question on Denver, what we are doing in North America is that the North America operation is going through a significant turnaround. And as part of this turnaround, we decided to consolidate our entire North America logistic operation in a new modern distribution center in Denver. Denver is becoming, in U.S., a very important logistic hub. I mean, around our distribution center, there are really many distributions there. So we have decided to concentrate in Denver because logistics give us a big advantage. So this movement was including to move all the North America wholesale business and together with our Smith sport business. The ramp up, in an honest way, has been a little bit slower than what we were forecasting, and the main impact has been on Smith. Now, I think there is a clear action plan, and by year end, I think that the distribution in center will be up and running at its right capacity.
Okay.
About the numbers, Gerd?
Yeah, I think the impact was mostly on Smith and in sport, which declined as a consequence of these delays in the quarter. If we adjust for the delays and for the actual orders that we had in the portfolio, considering also a very strong first half year, Smith would have grown high single digits in the third quarter. So this is what we're aiming to catch up in Q4, and the North American business would have been roughly flattish in the quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And there are no other questions at this time. Just as a reminder, it's star and one. One more question request has come through from Domenico Galotti from Equita. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Two questions. The first is related to the APAC region. Performing very nicely. Can you elaborate a little bit on what is driving the performance behind Q3 and also the previous quarters? And a more general question related, you know that we will be presenting the business plan in December. I was just trying to understand if we should expect more a top-line driven or cost-focused business plan.
Okay, I think on the second question, let's discuss when we present the business plan in December. I think we will continue to work with, realistic assumptions on the top line and making sure we take the necessary action on the cost structure as needed up front, and then I think we'll see how that pans out when we present it. On Asia Pacific, on the other side, I mean, it's a story that started already several quarters ago, as you said. Many good things in business start with the right leadership, and we have changed the commercial leadership in the region, as well as in the key markets of China and Hong Kong. So I think we have, an excellent team now in place over there. What is driving the business is the key accounts, which we have now also gone online with. So we have an increasing presence through our key accounts, also in the online channels. We are doing very well with Hugo Boss. We are doing very well with Polaroid, with Tommy Hilfiger. Frankly speaking, also with Dior this year. In China in particular, which I think is the main driver of the result. And despite the difficulties in Hong Kong, we are doing much better than the market. So also there we are able to defend our market share. But I think it's primarily the change of the organization and the commercial capabilities. So Angelo, if you want to.
I think it's, as I said, I was mentioning in my closing words, I think that commercial capability for this business are crucial. So I think it's not an issue of portfolio. I think the portfolio is right. The portfolio is going to be even stronger with Levi's, but obviously it's been a strong grip on the Chinese market, where we are really growing now, really, really systematically. So it's a combination of really having a different grip on the market and a great, great relationship with the customer. We are getting back in the big time with customer where we have not been working for a while.
If I may, so ask an additional question related to your performance so far. So compared to the initial expectation that you had early this year, are you performing better? So have you been surprised or been beating your initial expectation? And is more top line or cost, if there is a bit?
I think, let me say that on the top line, I think we are performing more or less in line with our expectations. We had outlined a 2-4% growth bracket in our previous 2020 plan, not necessarily a linear progress, but, after 9 months, we are growing between 3-4%. So I think there we are in line with our expectations. Certainly we feel that in some places of the world, like Asia in particular, or in some of the European markets, we are doing better, while in the United States we are still catching up and turning around. On the cost structure, I think that we have been able to get the savings faster than expected. We already started with cost savings, in particular on the overheads in 2018, so we were able to bring cost savings quite quickly to the bottom line starting from 2018, and this is also what we're seeing in the current year, which is helping us to sustain, on the one hand, the improvement in gross margin, but above all, to reduce the weight of overheads on the cost structure. And I'd say that we have been going faster than expected on that front.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Adam Crocker from Logbook Investment.
Hi. You guys mentioned reinvesting some of the overhead savings you had achieved back into Carrera. And I was just curious about your big picture strategy on the balance of reinvesting versus profits going to the bottom line there, just in general. And then I don't know if it's a comment for the or a topic to address in the call next month, but could you remind us your long-term target mix of your own brands as a percent of total?
Look, on Carrera and Polaroid, I think that obviously, as we have outlined already now many times, we are going to push hard on our brand, and to push hard on our brands and to grow our brand is a combination of activities. From one side, I think having the right collection, and I think that on Carrera and Polaroid, we have the right collection this year, and also looking forward. In terms of investment, I think we always look carefully that it has to be a reasonable return on investment. So what we have done is that we have reinvested behind Carrera and Polaroid, and mainly in specific activity enhancing the brand equity. I refer mainly to Carrera, but for example, in the case of Polaroid, we have been using a strong influencer in Italy or other digital social activity in Europe, which has been paying off. So we are very, very careful, but and any investment is tight check. But obviously, you know, we are, as soon as we have some funds available, we are reinvesting mainly, not also on Smith, but we are mainly investing behind Carrera, Polaroid, and Smith, with a different balance between digital and traditional media. So we are doing it, and we will keep reinvesting heavily behind our brands.
Yeah, and I think if you look a little bit at the strategy, what is helping this this development compared to the previous plan that we presented more or less 4 years ago, is that I think we have now more reasonable expectations on our own core brands, and we are much more focused on the key country combinations where we really want to deliver the growth. So in the previous plan, we had very big ambitions to double the business, which would have meant really investing everywhere and growing everywhere. Otherwise, the maths, they don't add up. Now we are very focused on key country combinations, so with the incremental investments that we're able to make there, we can have a much better impact because we simply get more for every euro that we invest. Looking ahead, I mean, again, not to anticipate things that we'll discuss in December, but clearly today, more or less, you know, our own core brands are just under 30% of the turnover of Safilo as a total. And then the balance is in licensed brands. So clearly, on the one side, that mix is going to evolve with the portfolio changes in the luxury brands that we have ahead of us, and some of the exits of the licenses. So the encore brands will naturally become a stronger part of the business. But in our growth strategies, we will certainly aim to always grow our encore brands as well as our top licenses at a faster clip than the rest of the portfolio, so that balance should continue evolving also in the new plan period.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, I think if there's no further questions, then from our side here in Padova, thank you very much for attending and for your questions as always, and we wish you a good evening.
Yeah, thanks very much, also on my behalf. Thanks very much.